Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I don't know if you noticed a theme this morning in our praise and worship, but every single song that was sung and each of the choruses was showing to us a contrast between who we were and who we have now become. We have become new creatures in Jesus Christ. The old ways are gone. The old ways are done away with. I was once a sinner, but I came. Pardon to receive my Lord. You, as well, were once sinners. And the only way that that could be changed was by coming to Jesus Christ and accepting Him as our Lord and Savior. For the work that He did for each one of us on Calvary. Well, we want to continue on with our core values that we've been looking at since the beginning of the year. We've been through why worship, and now we're into the section entitled why grow. How many of you know that wise, W-H-Y, apostrophe S, that those things don't do us a lot of good unless we couple together with them some hows? How do we go about growing? How do we go about seeing these changes in our lives? How do we become a church living in the light of the gospel? How do we become more and more like Jesus? Well, this morning, we're going to look at some of those hows to go along with the whys, to go along with the questions. You know, and in journalism and in research, and if you're writing anything, you need to address several questions: the who, the where, the what, the why, and the how. So we're going to move a little bit from the whys and go in to the hows today. We're going to look at a new way of approach to our Heavenly Father. We want to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, and verses 19 to 24. Hebrews 10, 19 to 24. And you'll have to forgive me. I read from the old one. When I pick up the ESV, or when I pick up the NIV, and sometimes even the new KJV, I'm like, where is that coming from? But whatever version you happen to feel comfortable with, in the chairs in front of you, if you don't have a Bible with you, there is a copy there. Pick it up, open it up to Hebrews chapter number 10, verses 19 to 24. And if you don't have a Bible of your own, walk out of here with the one that's in the pew. Take it home with you. Read it. And Pastor always says, if you wear it out, come back and get another one. That's what they're here for. We want the people to be immersed in the Word of God. And if you don't have it around, you can't become immersed in it. It's kind of like you can't get baptized without getting wet. You gotta have some water. And that's what we think about the Word as well. You've got to have it. Hebrews chapter number 10, verses 19 to 24. And Pastor, in my Bible, it's found on page 1653. He usually tries to tell us which verse, what page it's on and stuff. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, in our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Father, take your word this morning. Take your word and cause it to gain root within the hearts of every individual here. Lord, open our eyes that we can see. Open our hearts that we can hold it within us. And Father, open our spirits to react and to engage and to live upon your word. And Lord, we'll give you praise for that. Lord, now take the words that are about to be spoken. Father, bring them forth with clarity and help us each one to gain from those words. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Doctors. How many of you like to go to doctors? Well, doctors have established what are called norms for childhood development. These things are set to enable doctors and to enable parents to determine whether or not a child's development is where it should be on the basis of their age. You know, from the tiniest little mite to the biggest, bestest, greatest, oldest person there is. Doctors have a way of looking at those charts and saying, you're right on schedule. Everything's okay. You're growing or developing, or your child is growing or developing just the way that they should. Well, the Word of God has established and set for us certain growth patterns as well. We can go to the Word of God and we can look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. And it tells us that if any man, woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, they have become new creatures, new creations. The old ways of living are dead. The old ways of living are gone, and the new way of living has begun. Old is over. The new has started. And then if we move into 2 Peter chapter number 3, or chapter number 1, verses 3 through 7, and Pastor Dave alluded to this some last week, speaking of kind of a ladder of growth, kind of the growth pattern for Christians, and it tells us in that portion of Scripture, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. When I read that portion of Scripture and I look at it, I picture a ladder that we are climbing, a ladder that is used to gain for us the place we need to be in Jesus Christ. But as Pastor Dave mentioned last week, once we attain a certain level, we don't do away with that and just move to the next one. It's not like on a ladder. When you're climbing a ladder, you must keep the bottom rungs there as well. Once you have gone to them, you must add. It doesn't say replace. It says add. Add to your faith. Add to this. Add to that as we're climbing that ladder. If we fail to maintain and hold those things together, we no longer have a ladder, we have stilts. How many have ever tried to walk on stilts? Did you stand erect the very first time you got on them? Did they move the way you wanted them to move? Or did you go real fast and then over you went? That's what happens if we discard some of the things that God has told us to incorporate in our lives. We add, not replace. Throughout a person's life, he learns many new ways of doing things. All of us have heard the expression, you learn something new every day. The book of Hebrews is a book of contrasts. And chapter number 10 is the best place for us to look, to see the contrasts and to see the new way of approach that God has made possible for each one of us. The old way was a way of fear and dread. It was a way of sacrifice and offering. But the new way has had the sacrifice already made. It's had the offering already given. And the fear has been replaced by a boldness. Today I want us to look for a few moments at this passage of Scripture and to see God's new way of approach for us to Him. And three things that we're going to ponder, three things that we're going to look at are: let us draw near, let us hold fast, and let us consider. As we begin, we'll go to let us draw near. Opposite of the first approach, which was a fear. Remember in the Old Testament, the children of Israel said to Moses, you go talk to him. You go talk to God. And whatever he says to you, you come back and you tell us. You make it clear to us what God has said, and whatever he says, we'll do it. We'll just follow word for word, but you do the talking to God. Oh, how often we find that in churches today, where so many people in the body of Christ want someone else to talk to God for them. But God wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to us as individuals. He wants us to get to know Him and for Him to get to know us. And it takes that personal involvement. So the children of Israel said, Moses, you go, you talk to God, and then come back and talk to us. And God also had some speaking to do. And he said, don't come near this mountain. Don't come near. There's lightnings and there's thunders and there's dark clouds descending over the mountains, and the mountain is shaking. And God said, don't come near the mountain. He had set boundaries that could not be crossed to gain access. In the new way, the heart is the key, not the law. The heart is the key to our approach to God. Previously, all the requirements of the law had to be kept. Precisely. There wasn't any fudging on them. There wasn't any, well, I'll just do this part of it this time, and it'll be all right. No, it had to be exactly as it was stated. You know, you couldn't bring part of a sacrifice. You couldn't bring just a little bit. You had to follow completely the Word of God. But now we find the condition is the key, or the heart is the key to our approach to God. We need a true heart It's a heart of singleness, focused and centered upon the Lord. We need an assured heart, a heart full of faith. And there needs to be a cleansed heart, one that's been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And we need a blameless heart, one that has been bathed in the water of the Word of God. When the heart is right with God, the approach is open, and you begin to hear, "Let us draw near." God saying, "Hey, come." Jesus spoke and said, "All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I'll give you rest." When we begin to approach God with that heart of sincerity, he says, "Come, come unto me." The moving in is faith's exercise. Moving in a trusting and an expectant manner. Having therefore boldness, brethren. Wow. God says we don't have to cower in fear anymore. We don't have to stand back and say, "You talk to him for me." We don't have to be fearful of hearing the voice of God. But now we can come with an expectant heart to hear from him. Let us draw near. Answers the why with the how by having our hearts ready to meet him. And we can go on from "let us draw near" to "let us hold fast." Israel was a fickle nation. Anybody ever meet a fickle person? You ever meet somebody that was just fickle? Now, when I was a kid, that word fickle just blew my mind. What does that mean? What does it mean to be fickle? Somebody answer me this morning. What does it mean to be fickle? Changing your mind all the time, okay. Never being set just in one way, or being focused, or being true, or being faithful. Kind of like being unreliable. Well, Israel was a fickle nation. You might say that they were kind of two-faced in their way of doing things. Everything depended upon circumstances. Oh, how that rule seems to be raising its ugly head in the world today. Well, it all depends on the circumstances. Well, I did that because it was the way I was raised. Or I did that because just nobody loved me. Well, if that's the case, go eat worms. You know, Israel was fickle, and men are fickle today. Women are fickle today, often in their approach to God. Israel had a hard time being true to God, who had been faithful and true to them over and over and over again. Oh, how many times have you said in your heart as you've read through the Old Testament and saw things in the Old Testament and saw how Israel turned their back on God and walked away, and they just, oh, and you've said, "If that had been me, it would have never happened." Hogwash. We're no different than Israel. Many times God speaks to us and he reaches out to us and his arms are open wide, and we say, "Hang on just a minute. I got a few things I got to get done. I've got a few things I want to do." Really, God, you want me to do that? Really, you want me to say that? Really, you want me to talk to that person? Yep. That's what he's calling us to do. There's no doubt been times in your life, in my life, when we've had to hold fast. Hold fast in the face of great opposition. And sometimes holding fast is tough. Sometimes holding on is tough. Sometimes holding on might be even a little bit scary. But that's what we've got to do. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We have got to hold on to what we believe. Now, I've heard it related that in some of the jungles, that when a lion gets old, the pride will send that old lion out into the jungles to roar and to draw the attention of other animals. But you know what? That old lion is toothless. All of his teeth are gone. He can't even chomp on anything anymore. But they send him out to roar and to bring an attraction to draw others out. Well, you know what? That's kind of like the devil. He goes forth. Notice the Bible says, as a roaring lion. It doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He goes forth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How many of you would be afraid of a toothless old lion? If he came out with a full set of chompers, now that might be a different thing. But he is as a roaring lion. And folks, he has been defeated. His teeth are gone. He works in fear. He works and attacks people through fear. And that's what he tries to do to the children of God. Sometimes holding on is tough, but we've got to hold fast. We've got to be unmovable. We've got to be unshakable. And remember, he has already been defeated. The grasp of faith is to hold fast to our profession of God. If we claim to have it, it must be an outward expression. It can't just be an inward expression. If we claim to have faith, if we claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then it must have an outward expression. There's an old chorus that says, "Love is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart." And another verse of that is, "Faith is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart." It's raised so that others might see and know where your faith is. The grasp of faith is not only holding fast to our profession of God, to others. It's also holding fast to our personal God. If we claim we have a relationship with Him, then we must hold fast to that claim. It's not just the talk, but it's the walk. How do we walk each and every day of our lives? We must make him real in our own lives. He must become more than just a doctrine or a philosophy to us. We must cleave to him, hold fast to him. We can draw near now because of the new way of approach that we have. An approach without fear. An approach with boldness. We must hold fast now to our profession of God and to Him as our personal God. But we also must consider, how many times in your life have you considered things? I mean, really considered things. You know, we think about things kind of in passing sometimes. We just kind of have things just kind of float through our minds, and we might consider or think that that's considering something. But we don't want to just think about this in passing when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to mull it over. We need to meditate upon it. We need to take it deeply into our heart. When you meditate upon something, it has the implication of chewing it over and over and over again. Kind of like a cow chews its cud. Over and over and over again. That's how we consider things in our relationship with our God. We must consider our brethren to provoke them to love and to provoke them to good works. When we hear the term provoke, what comes to my mind immediately is aggravate. You ever had that little urge deep down inside of you to aggravate somebody? Be honest. You ever had that urge just to, it's my turn? Yeah. There's a few kind of smiles coming from the congregation today. There's a few just kind of like, and there's others, yep, I've been there, done that. Well, provoke, as it's used here, doesn't mean to agitate or to aggravate. Here it implies to inspire to, or to cause to, or to pique interest. Let us consider. Let us cause others. Let us inspire others. Let us pique their interest in what we have an interest in. And that's our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, and His Holy Spirit, who comes alongside of us and walks with us every single day of our lives. Let us consider, is faith's labor of love. Assurance. Working of faith in our lives comes from an approach to God through His free and gracious gift to us. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses number 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's no other way. There is absolutely no other way. Some try to say in the world that all religions are okay. All of them are doing the same thing. They're offering an approach to God. How nice. It's just that they're wrong. There is no other name given whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. Buddha did not say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Muhammad did not say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But Jesus did. Jesus said, "I am the way, the the truth, and the life. Wow. What a difference we have. You see, folks, we don't have religion. We don't have Christianity. We have Jesus. We have Jesus, who is the only way. Faith's exercise of boldness allows and causes us to draw near to Him. Faith's grasp of hope keeps us steady and unwavering in our growth in Christ. And faith's labor of love compels us to consider others that we might bring them into His kingdom. Those are some hows for the wise. Why grow? To be more like Jesus. Why grow? To be a church living in the light of the gospel. And how do we achieve those things? By drawing near to Him. By holding fast to Him. And by considering others to see them come into the kingdom of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for Your love and Your mercy and for Your grace. And Father, we thank You that for all of life's questions, You have the answers. A contrast, Lord, between the old and the new. Even though we were once sinners, we're now saved by grace through faith, which is a gift from You and You alone. Lord, take these simple words today and help their roots to go deep within our hearts. And we'll give You glory and give You praise in Jesus' name.